The circular thing will show you, just using raw fractions, the circular pace graph will show you where a horse makes a move relative to the field. If you don't need it, if you already sense it, then you don't need to do extra work. Don't do any work that you don't need to do. The big problem with seminars and clinics is we introduce a lot of material for people having problems. So here's a guy who doesn't have any problem at all. Says, well, that sounds like a good idea. I think I'd start doing that. Well, he goes into the toilet for 6 weeks because he was already winning and what he was doing was right. Now he's trying something that's unfamiliar to him and it's hurting him. Don't take on any extra work. It's not going to help you. Only that which will help you, you should take on. I would never do any extra work if I'm winning with what I'm doing. I just come for reinforcement to seminars. If you're winning with what you're doing, you're precisely what we want you to be, winners. And don't start playing around with something else just because it's there. You don't have to climb Mount Everest just because it's there. I wouldn't climb a mountain just because it was there. I think that was the dumbest answer anybody ever gave. Remember that guy? Why did you climb Mount Everest? Because it was there. And everybody, oh, boy, what a heroic figure. Well, that's... I thought it was a gorgeous girl up on the top was up waiting for you and giving her favors if you... Oh, if I'd known that, I wouldn't have tried. No more questions? You understand it thoroughly then. Good. Yes, sir.
This afternoon during the break, Nick mentioned that perhaps during his profile talk, he would discuss what people who don't have engine yet can do in terms of the computers they have.
Oh, you can record all the, just record yourself all those factors. I leave out the first fraction. Take turn time, the third fraction. Beat links at the second call, you can forget if you want to. The second call itself, you should put in.
That's the whole exercise this afternoon was doing. It's all predicated on a track profile that you built. You didn't use an engine.
Yeah, you can build it. I would suggest you get the engine as fast as possible. Building that thing can take is a lot of work. This thing does it for you, and it's so you're talking about a week, 10 days. But Dick did that one that won that race with those two high priced horses. He did that by hand. In fact, that's why he put it in, to show that it could be done by hand. Dick doesn't like my forms anyway. Yes.
Profile, do you feel comfortable with having a recent one, like, for example, the last 10, 6 furlongs, or do you keep it for the whole year?
I like the last race best. No, you keep it for your own reference. I would never stop keeping it, in other words, because the changes are what you're looking for. The most important thing in this methodology is not what happened last year, last month, or last week, but what happened yesterday or the first race today. But the only way you're going to know what the averages are. How do you know that somebody's deviating from an average if you don't know the average? That's a question for Dan to ask in his next exercise. That's not average. How do you know? Well, I think I know. Yes, Dan, you had
I just wanted to share something with people that haven't found this out yet. It was one of these, ask me how I know. Engine will only hold 16 races and then it crashes. So, that's really more than enough for a moving average. If you think you have 10 in there, you're probably going to throw out the high and the low anyway, and maybe take away the oldest as soon as you get to 16 or something.
Well, you're not going to have 16 of any one distance in a week anyway. That'll last you.
Right, but I'm saying, so in other words, can you put them all in for a year? It won't fit.
Oh, not in the same.
You don't want to trim them down.
It's Jim here. I thought he was making it a few more, but.
Currently, it's about 16.
Yeah. What you want to do is close it out every week, every 20 races. Close it out and then put it in a file and week of. And then look at it for the next week. And if it's constant, if you have a kind of track where the averages don't deviate very much, you've got it made. But by the same token, its real value is to show you deviations. But I repeat, you don't know what a deviation is until you know what the average is. And you don't have to throw out the high and the low in this. If you do four races, yeah, you don't want to have, because a deviant race can can affect if you have an average of 4. But when you do an average of 9 or more, the deviants get averaged in, so they come out almost the same average. So that throwing out the high and the low is an unnecessary exercise, besides which they might have pointing to something.
Howard, are you only putting in N-gen races that you actually handicap?
No, you're putting in, no. You put, the N-gen is made from the win, the results charts. The results charts, every morning, it takes 12 minutes tops, 2 cups of coffee. And it's fast, believe me, the thing says, it's fast and faster if you know how to read the results charts. If you got to go, oh, and you forget, you know, there's a, Dick has a way. Dick will show you a way. In his speech tonight, he'll show you how to, oh, did he? How to cross off everybody that's below. Yeah, okay, that's it. And you know, that's the only time is making sure you count those heads and things like that. Heads, you know, 2 heads, 5 heads is, you know, it's better than none, yeah. They're available now. I mean, not, we don't have them physically here, but you can order them from there. Remember, to you it's 25. To your friends who didn't come, it's 49.
Your daughter says they're not.
Huh?
Your daughter says they're not available.
Well, she's been told differently.
That's not how it works. It's what she told you. It's not what you told her.
The reason she said that is she did not realize that the program had been made for all computers. Jimmy is informing her, even as we speak, that they are ready for all computers, and he has taken full responsibility to make the proper number of them. And the documentation you already have. For once in our life, the documentation was ready before the program, and you have it in your very hands. Hey! And how about that? How about a little hand for old Howard, who can write recipes, huh? All right, good. They said I was obtuse and deviant and inexplicable. But that, without arrows, how do you like those arrows? Step one, boom, point the arrow, bang, bang. Now, if I'd written a yellow manual like that, we wouldn't have any clients today. You know that if I'd written a yellow manual like that, you wouldn't be clients? Because you would have thought you understood it, and it wouldn't have worked. And you would have gone off and bought Mike Warren's or somebody else's. But because you didn't understand it right away, you stuck with it. I didn't take those years and for nothing, you know. You work around enough insane asylums, you learn a lot. Well, I'll tell you, the best bunch of neurotics I ever worked with were the, you people.
Some of the members of the insane asylum who are there now are there as a direct consequence of the yellow manual.
Yeah. But all the people I talk to in the mental hospitals, they understand it perfectly.
And handicapped like no tomorrow. Oh, they're great.
$10 number 2.
Well, actually, I gave up. I retired from private practice because I sit there like this. I get a pain in the neck listening. I go like this, and I'd be massaging. And I have never got a pain in the neck working with handicappers. I enjoy it, and it's the best. It's great therapy for me and you. And really, what it is therapy. The whole thing is therapy. The sharing of problems and the openness and everything. Hostility still exists in certain areas. But actually, there's more hostility in the charter members than there are in the audience. All right. That would conclude this segment. If nobody has any more questions. Okay, Dick went over. Hey, well, this guy doesn't know anything. And he lost and lost. And he finally writes this great confessional letter where he now religiously does his APVs. He's ESPs, he's pluses and O's, and he's PBS, and he's winning. The only reason we tell you to do it is because it works. Now, you are going to read, if you read a lot, everybody said APV is worthless. Well, the number one APV horse is worthless. See, all you the people who write books are thinking in terms of number one. What does number one do? Because they're one-itis. They're all hertzies. We're avis. look to see what the top four did. Remember how we determined the viable variables? What do the top four do? The APV isolates horses that you will ordinarily leave out. The APV's strongest feature is that it allows you, it gives you permission to go back for a pace line. If a horse has an inordinately high APV, you can go way back. If a horse has a low APV, you better stick to recency relative to the field. I mean, he may be a low APV, but supposing they're all 58. Is he low? No, he's not low. He's equal to the rest of them. But if you have a bunch of hundreds and you have 150, the hundreds you can go back a couple of races, but the 150 you can go back as far as you want. It just allows you more latitude in picking a pace line, and it also is very productive of place horses and frequently some high-priced winners. What it does is not to tell you what horses to put in as much as it tells you what horses never to leave out, and that's important. You can put in all the horses, you know. But when you're trying to isolate the ones not to leave out, those are the ones you never want to leave out. Quite simply, the pluses and the O's are to give you a form cycle on the horse and to make your pace line selection less difficult. Because you'll always pick from a plus or a plus within an O. The ESP, Tom Bruhammer demonstrated this so many at our classes, that you got four E's, and they all have to have the lead. They're probably going to fight each other off in this part of Jimmy's matchup, fight each other off and die, well, as a suppressor or a sustained horse will take over. The PBS is the last thing, so we'll do it first. PBS being the last step, we'll have Michael Pozzola go over it because some of you are still not familiar with its power. Michael?
I need to be effective in that usually the winner will be among the top five or the top cluster. Okay. Those of you to whom this is the first introduction to PBS, I'll tell you this. We thought very long and hard before publishing it, before writing about it, because the numbers are so strong and can tell you so much about a race that the fear was that you would throw out the real juicy parts of the methodology and just look at the PBS numbers. The numbers are that good. Let me tell you the worst way to use PBS before we talk about details. What I'd like to do with you is go over step by step how to make PBS numbers. And then we'll do an actual race with them. Actually, one of the hardest races you can do with PBS. It's in the manual. I've never seen it before, but it's quite an interesting race. It's got a lot of interesting things in it. But the worst thing you can do with PBS numbers is to key in on the top five or the top four and just put those into your computers and not use the other step. They're only one part of this mosaic, one part of this puzzle. They're an important part. You know, now, until you get to the skill level of Tom Brohammer, you can afford to stand up here and say, well, I don't use PBS. Well, that's fine. He probably sees that by eye anyway. But PBS came out of a plane ride that Jim Bradshaw and I took from Las Vegas to Dallas. I think we were on our way to Dallas. And he started saying, well, you know, here's an easy way to get contenders. And I said, oh, come on, Jimmy. Grow up. Speed rating, second call time, come on. And he said, well, Mikey, try it on this race. I said, yeah, okay, it worked on this race. You picked a race. He said, and I had about, oh, I don't know, 50 racing forms in my suitcase, my carry-on. You know, God forbid I should have a plane ride without, you know, racing forms. He said, well, pick out a racing form. So we picked out a form. We did every race. And the winner was out of the top three, I think, once or twice. And we just kept doing race after race, and it was uncanny at getting contenders. So, yes, the numbers are very good. No, don't use them in isolation. Don't bet them. Don't think that, oh, well, I don't need the rest of this, you know, I don't need a track profile. This is the first little inkling. And what it really will point to is a horse not to leave out. So often the crowd will ignore a horse that has run against a fast-paced race. PBS will uncover those and will point to you a horse not to leave out. Just as high APV will point a horse not to leave out. It will also, PBS, when you make a PBS number, it requires a step called projecting a fulcrum horse, which will be the key to getting contenders. It's the first step in the matchup. Okay. What's a PBS number? PBS stands for Pace Balanced Speed. Also, Pizzola, Bradshaw, Sarton. That's what we kind of thought that was a nice little way to do it. And it's a way of balancing the horse's speed rating by its pace. The PBS number, and I know because one or two of you will raise your hand later when we take questions and answers and ask the question to which this is the answer. It's like Jeopardy. But here's the answer to the question you'll have later. We balance the horse's speed rating by the pace of the race against which it ran. Not the pace that it actually ran at the second call, but the pace of the race, second call. Okay? It's very, very, very simple in its concept. Actually, in applying it, it gets a little tough. Okay. So, for example, I'm going to get off the microphone and go on to the board here. For example,
Michael, you can use that microphone there.
Oh, thanks, Dan.
If you think that the race, at the bare minimum, that a horse will have to reach, will have to be able to face a second call time of 46, let's just use this as an example. When you do PBS, and we're going to talk about how to get this number in a minute, what I call the fulcrum of the race, 46. When you consider PBS on a horse, you have to consider only two key things. The first is the pace of the race against which it ran. You know, they look like this, 46.2, 46, and the speed rating of the race. So in this example, this horse ran against a 45.3 and ran a final time of 80.
Can't see that back there. Why? That's the racing form speed rating.
That's the racing form speed rating. And gosh, I know the purists, you know, the Toms of the world. Is he here? Oh, good. Can you hear?
Nah.
Nah, good. You know, the Toms of the world say, ah, come on. Here's the example. And we're going to do these quickly, because they're pretty simple. You have a horse that ran an 80 speed rating against a 45.3. You adjust this 80 speed rating 1 point for every fifth of a second that the pace of the race is faster or slower than the pace of the race you think will be the minimum that the horse will have to face today. So if you've decided that that fulcrum is going to be 46 today and a horse ran 80 against a 45.3, it's PBS. It's 82, because it's 2/5 of a second faster. This is the pace of the race, not the pace of the horse. We don't care how many lengths that is. As a matter of fact, a horse that runs an 80 speed rating against a 45.3, when it's way back in the pack, are the kind of horses that the crowd overlooks race after race after race. It's the kind of race, the kind of horse that Jimmy inhales. He loves to see those horses. Because he knows that 80 is 80. Similarly, this 82 was run against a 46.2, which is 2/5 slower than the 46. It becomes an 80. And finally, this 85 was run against a 46 pace of race. It gets no change. It gets an 85. Okay. That's the basic concept of PBS. There are two adjustments that you need to make with PBS. The first adjustment is distance adjustments. And the way you make distance adjustments is very simple. You add or subtract 1 point for every half furlong the horse is stretching out or cutting back. Okay? So for example, if this 45.3 and 80 speed rating was running in a 5.5 furlong race, and today's race is 6 furlongs, you would take this down 1.82. Becomes an 81. Let's say this example was run in a 6.5 furlong race. You'd give this horse 1 point credit, so it would become an 81. Kind of even it out.
That's the most important adjustment. The other kind of adjustment we'll talk about in a minute, of course, is cutting back from routes to sprints. Now, I've been asked over and over again, what kind of adjustments do you make for a sprinter stretching out to a route? There are umpteen ways to do this, three main ones, two of which are pretty complicated. Let me give you a very simple one. If you've got a sprinter who just ran an 80 speed rating in a sprint, and he's going to a mile a 16th today, well, he's stretching out 2.5 furlongs, which are 5 half furlongs. Just deduct 5 from his speed rating, period. 75, that's the sprinter's PBS number. That's why it's important to project a fulcrum for the race. People, when we first came up with PBS, said, oh, I could just use a constant. I'll use 46 for sprints, 112 for routes. That's close enough. No, it's not, because of the problem of horses stretching out or cutting back. You must do it. Also, setting a fulcrum for the race begins the wheels turning. Remember Howard said one of the ways of using the plus of the nose is to see how the horse fares when it faces the pace it must face today. Well, guess what? If you think if a horse is a world beater but only does so against 47 paces and he's got a pace of 46 today, probably don't want your money riding on it. That's an important point to know. Now, just on this and not on the details, because, you know, there's no way to talk about this in a vacuum. We're going to get down to a case. This is a race that I've never seen before, and I may never see again, because I don't know what my manual is. Okay. Is it? Oh, good. Hello. Good morning. This thing relates, but before we get to it, and we're going to go through the process of how to get a fulcrum and how to tell if a horse matches against it. Any questions on this basic thing? I just want to be very clear on the mechanics of PBS. Yes?
You just said it didn't make any difference, or it made a difference when you picked actually determining a fulcrum when you adjusted a sprinter to a route.
Yeah.
Now, if you got a horse that's an 80,